And we start with chapter, or with verse 13, he replied, every plant as my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit. This is the word of God for the people of God. This morning I want to talk about spiritual blindness. I think our church is filled with people that are spiritually blind. When I say our church, I'm speaking the church as a whole. I'm sure there's people that go to this church that come and worship with a spiritual blindness. I want to try and wake us up to that this morning. There are some conditions that are dangerous because they are obvious, and then there are others that are dangerous because they go unnoticed. Physical blindness is serious, but spiritual blindness is even more dangerous because a person can keep moving. They can keep functioning. They can keep talking and still not realize they have lost their sight. One of the most tragic places for this kind of blindness is to take hold within the church. A blind world is already in peril. But when the church itself loses sight, the very place meant to radiate light begins to drift into darkness. Let me say that again. The very place meant to radiate light begins to drift into darkness. What should be a beacon of truth starts to falter. Jesus spoke with clarity about this danger. When the blind lead the blind, the outcome is inevitable. It is not merely a warning, it is a grave reality. Spiritual blindness, I'm going to suggest right now, is one of the most serious problems the church has today. I say that because we see so much of it. I told myself I wasn't going to use this as an example, but I am, because it's new with us, it's fresh with us. We can relate to this. Churches of different denominations are being led by leaders that are spiritually blind. I can name the denominations, but I think we all know who I'm talking about. Look at what it has done. The UMC has lost nearly half of its churches because of people like you and I, a church like Carlisle Church, were not moved through spiritual blindness. We seen the light. And we followed that light. And we made a move. And I have the honor of going there this week and doing God's work that will cause this denomination to grow even more and more and more. I mentioned it in my prayer. The GMC has a designated group of people, both pastors and laity, that have met on a regular basis, I think for the past month, praying and asking for guidance in the work that the annual conference will do. I fully expect that the leaders that I will meet there and pray with there and work with there this coming week are not spiritually blind. They are led by the light. When spiritual leaders lose discernment, they don't just suffer alone, they carry others with them into confusion and ruin. What makes it so dangerous is that blindness does not always announce itself. Sometimes it develops quickly. Sometimes it grows in places where people feel the most comfortable, the most religious, the most confident. You can have a church language, you can have a church routine, you can have church music, you can have a church movement, and still fail to see what God is trying to reveal. Now that's a pretty serious thing. When we can't see what God is trying to reveal to us, it's called spiritual blindness. Some that are spiritually blind, like I mentioned, come to church every Sunday, sit in the same pew, fellowship with the same people, listen to the word, and go home unmoved. Nothing changes. Because they were led by spiritual blindness. It is my prayer that I ask God, through His mercy, to feed me, keep my eyes open, shine the light that I can follow, so I can lead you. Spiritual blindness can be a devastating thing to a church. Here's kind of how it works. You can walk into a room where the odor is strong and annoying. But after you're in that room for a while, it becomes normal. You can't smell it anymore. Because it's normal. It's what to be expected. It's what you experience all the time. Well, it's the same way if we are not watchful. We can stay around things so long that we no longer discern the spiritual damage that is happening to us. I cannot tell you how many people I have known and talked to over the last several years that said they were not going to leave a church because it's the one I've always gone to. Or I was married there, or I was baptized there, I went to Sunday school there. Really what they're telling you is they are spiritually blind. They're going to sit in the same pews, go to the same building, do the same things over and over and over, and because they are spiritually blind, they are allowing themselves to be led by church leaders that are spiritually blind. It's a powerful thing. It's something that we cannot ignore. It's something that we need to take our own personal inventory and try and discern if you or me are one of them that are spiritually blind. You see, what once would have shaken us no longer serves us. Hellfire and brimstone. That's a sermon that needs to be spoken. But if we're spiritually blind, we don't hear it. We don't relate to it. I don't know if we even hear the words that are spoken if we're spiritually blind. What once cried out for repentance can begin to sit among us and know it belongs there. If we stay around and compromise long enough, conviction grows weaker and correction becomes easier to avoid. If we stay around prayerlessness and worship with division and gossip and have pride and an empty religion long enough, we may begin to host what God is trying to judge and tolerate what the Holy Ghost is trying to expose. If we're spiritually blind, we don't recognize the work that the Holy Spirit is doing within us. We don't feel that Spirit fill this sanctuary if we're sitting in the pew spiritually blind. The church doesn't get the benefit of the Holy Spirit's work if we're spiritually blind. We can throw all the money we want at it. We can do all of the work we want to do. But if we're spiritually blind, it falls on deaf ears. Church blindness is when the people of God become so accustomed to unhealthy spiritual conditions, they no longer see them as dangerous. Did you get that? Church blindness exists because we allow it. We allow it because we don't recognize it. We allow it because we don't think we're one of these people that are spiritually blind. I challenge you this morning that at one time or another, everybody sitting here has been spiritually blind through a period of their life. I'm guilty of that. It can ruin this church. Holly talked to me this morning about a book she's reading titled The Autopsy of a Church. She suggested I need to read it. I told her I would. It's exactly what happens when we're led by spiritually blind leaders. The church dies. Church blindness happens when tradition replaces truth. Oh, tradition. Oh, boy, is that a powerful thing? What do you mean? We've always had a hymn sing. Why would we change? What do you mean? We always stand up when we do this. Why would we change? What do you mean? You're not going to speak on Trinity Sunday when it's on the calendar? We have always done that. These are all byproducts of being spiritually blind. I embrace change. Most people do not. And I'm not suggesting that if you don't embrace change that you're spiritually blind, but I do think we can become very guilty to what is traditional. You'll notice that I change up liturgy quite often. We don't always say the Apostles' Creed. We don't always say the Nicene Creed, but I change them up. we don't always use the same liturgy for communion. I've probably got 5 or 6 different liturgies that I can use. I change them up. Why do you suppose that is? That's right. That's exactly right. It's too easy to become complacent if we just say the same words over and over and over. And that tradition will eventually lead us, I believe, to spiritual blindness. If we're going to see the light and follow the light, we need to keep ourselves on our toes. We need to hear what the Spirit is telling us. We need to follow that light. We need to work hard at not falling prey to being spiritually blind. A church can be full of activity. It can be full of routine. It can be full of language that sounds religious, yet still be blind to what really matters. When we defend our customs more than we pursue God's presence. Did you get that? When we work harder at what we're accustomed to, we work less to find God's presence because it leads to spiritual blindness. We must ask ourselves that hard and holy question. Are we still doing church the way we have always done that because it's familiar to us? Or are we truly seeking what God is saying to us? Because what is familiar is not always faithful to God. Did you catch that? What is traditional is not always true to the sight of God. What has become comfortable to the flesh can be completely contrary to the Spirit of God and dangerous to the life of the church. We must not become so attached to our pattern that we resist His prompting, or loyal to our routines that we miss His rebuke, or be satisfied with form that we no longer hunger for His fire. There comes a time when God will disturb what makes us comfortable, expose what we made acceptable, challenge what we made permanent. And if we are not careful, we will keep protecting what God is trying to purge and defending what God is trying to dismantle. That's what happens when we become spiritually blind. If you come to church with blinders on, you're not being blessed while you're here. Unless you see that light. If your presence is in a church on Sunday morning and you come seeking the light, if you come seeking what God is saying for us, to us, then them blinders will come off. And we can once again walk with the Lord, worship Him with our words, worship Him with our song, worship Him with our presence, worship Him with our works. But if we are spiritually blind, we can't see to do any of those things. At first, certain things grieve us, pride troubles us. Cold worship troubles us. Lack of prayer troubles us. Fresh attitudes trouble us. But if they remain unchecked, we can slowly adapt to them, and what should have alarmed us can begin to feel acceptable. We can set in atmospheres that are spiritually unhealthy, tolerate what heaven is opposing, and then call it normal. That's a very dangerous place to be. Anything in the church that displeases God should never become comfortable to us. Do you get that? Anything that doesn't make God happy, we need to toss out and get rid of. We need the Holy Spirit to keep our conscience tender, our discernment sharp, and our vision clear so that we do not adjust to what God is calling us to confront. If we stop grieving over what grieves the Spirit, if we stop excusing what God is trying to expose, if we stop trembling at His work, then we will start tolerating what once drove us to repentance. The danger is that wrong things remain too long because we have become spiritually blind. We need to cast off them blinders. We need to get back to conviction. We need to get back to a clean altar, back to sincere worship, back to a place where sin is not managed but confronted, forsaken, and cast out by the power of God. Church blindness happens when blind leaders are followed without discernment. We see so much of that today. We see it in local churches. We see it on the national stage. We see it on TV. We see it over and over and over again. Leaders, leading people that are spiritually blind. A full program and a starving spirit, religious movements, and spiritual stagnation in many events have little encounters with the Lord. These rallies that we see on the college campuses, some of them are awesome. Some of them are partially awesome. Some of them are partially attended to by spiritually blind people because it's just the popular thing to do. We had a Charlie Kirk that broke through and led people to the light and convinced them that they were spiritually blind. And look at what happened to his movement. Whenever busyness becomes a substitute for abiding, the church may continue doing many things for God while no longer walking closely with Him. We can keep ourselves so busy doing all of these things, but if we're spiritually blind while we do these things, God is not going to walk with us. He'll be there. We can feel His presence. He is calling us to come to His side of the street. The Church blindness is cured when we get back into the presence of Jesus. Revivals begin when the church stops pretending everything is fine and invite God to reveal what we have stopped noticing. The danger of church blindness is that people can gather, sing, preach, shout, while all still missing what God is trying to expose. Our music this morning was awesome. We had a guest here this morning. They had to leave early, by the way. They had a previous commitment. But I watched her sit back there with her hand raised. I watched them singing the songs. I watched him look to the heavens with his hands folded like this. Because our music is not spiritually blind. And we are not led by somebody that is spiritually blind. And music is an awesome thing to lead us into a wide open walk with Christ. And I thank God that we have that here at Carlisle Church. Today, the Lord is calling His church to see again. This is not the hour to remain unmoved. This is not the hour to cry out for open eyes and clean hearts and renewed discernment. We need to do this personally, individually. And make sure you have a church leader that does that also. Let's ask God to open our eyes to anything in us that has become normal because it's not holy. To open our eyes to where we have confused form with fire. To open our eyes to where routine has replaced reverence. To open our eyes to what we have excused that you are calling us to confront. Let's humble ourselves before the hand of God. Let's lay aside every excuse and answer the call to holiness. Let's return and receive fresh vision. And I ask you this morning, Lord, do not let us have church and miss you. Father, open our eyes again. And all of God's people said,